Welcome to Community Conversations. These are pre-recorded interviews brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on KRFY. Because of ongoing concerns about the COVID pandemic, we are not able to be in the studio doing live broadcast interviews right now. But we are still dedicated to recording and bringing to you topics of local and current interest, highlighting voices from our community. For Community Conversations, we are using phones and web-based technology so that participants can be recorded remotely. Please bear with us if there are any gaps or hiccups that might be caused by a slow or unstable phone or internet connection. Also, keep in mind that because these interviews are recorded, information may change between the time of this recording and the time that you hear it broadcast. Thank you for joining us for today's Community Conversation on KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Good morning, and welcome to another Community Conversations with your hosts, Phil Huff and Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Well, hello, Phil. How are you doing?
Oh, wonderful. And folks, for the last year, will know we've been recording these. It seems like it's not been a full year since we've been live in the studio, but it has been.
It really has, and I can't believe it either, Phil. Where has the year gone? And hopefully we will soon be back in the live studio. It looks like we're working toward that goal.
Well, we will see. I'm sure things are looking brighter. First COVID shot for me this week.
And so, for me too, for me last week. So things are looking up.
Well, we've got a lineup today that'll be partly familiar to our guests, and the topic's one we cover quite a bit. And Julie, why don't you introduce our guests today?
Yes, I would be happy to. So the topic for this week's Community Conversations is Trails Projects and the new Executive Director at the Idaho Trails Association. And with that, we have guests, Tom Dabrowski. Tom, you are the president of the Idaho Trails Association. Say hello, Tom.
Hello, Julie and Phil.
Hello. And our new executive director at Idaho Trails, Mel Vining. You are the ED. Hello.
Hi, Tom and or Phil and Julie and Tom.
Yes, great to have you here. So as per normal, we like to have our guests tell us a bit about themselves and their background, how they came to be in the roles they're currently working in. And so, Tom, why don't you give us a brief bit about yourself? You've been a guest before, but for folks who have not heard from you before, tell us about your background and how you came to be at Idaho Trails Association.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Well, 6 or 7 years ago, a really smooth-talking individual who may be participating in this show talked me into volunteering for an Idaho Trails Association project up on Grouse Creek. And I had so much fun that I decided, wow, I'm going to go do more of this. And I've been a hiker all of my life. And after I retired, my wife said, okay, now it's time for you to give back to the community. So we got involved in a number of community organizations, such as the Lions Club. And ITA was just a perfect fit. And so I volunteered for more projects, and I forgot that key two-letter word when you retire, and that's no. And so I got involved with the board and then ultimately became president of the board of the ITA. And it's been a lot of work, but it's been a huge amount of fun and very rewarding.
Yeah, very good. That was so succinct. I'm proud of you, Tom. Mel, let's move on to you, and would love to hear about your background. You've newly joined Idaho Trails. You're not up in the Panhandle. You're down in the Boise area, as I understand. Tell us a little bit about you and how you came to be in your new position.
Thanks, Julie. Well, I keep thinking about it, and I feel like I've sort of taken the long way around on a lifelong dream. I've always been involved with trails, whether it's hiking or when I was working my way through college as a firefighter. I would find early and late season work. And two of my best experiences doing that work were on wilderness trail crews where they needed a fill-in in the early spring or late fall, on either end of fire season. And I still remember those experiences. They were way back in 2000 and 2001. And learning to use the traditional tools, learning to use a crosscut from these experienced Wilderness Trail crew members, and it really stuck with me, but I didn't think about the opportunity to make trails, a career at all. I actually worked 12 years as a Forest Service hydrologist. I was really passionate about watershed restoration. But over the years, my family and I have always been avid backpackers, and we have horses and mules, and we like to take pack trips. And so trails have been at the center of most of our recreation time. And then in 2019, I had the chance to lead one of ITA's first youth trips in the Frank Church Wilderness. And it just stuck with me. It was a week. It was awesome. I was really nervous about this idea of taking 9 kids into the woods, teaching them to use traditional tools, making sure no one got hurt, making sure everyone got along. And it was just amazing. And so I came out of that experience still just thinking, I just want to do more of this. And in a conversation with Jeff Halligan, planning a 2020 youth trip, which ended up having to be canceled because of COVID, his retirement came up. Maybe after a year of COVID where all of our lives were kind of turned upside down, it got me thinking outside the box. And so I decided to go for it. And after 3 months of learning and challenge, it's awesome. I love this job. And I still kind of have to pinch myself and tell myself it's real that I have an opportunity to make trails a career. So really, really excited to be part of ITA.
And you've had a couple months to settle in a little bit. So the job you did before and the job you're doing now, while it's certainly focused on the trails, has a lot of indoor work, particularly in the winter. How are you finding that transition?
Well, a lot of what I did with the Forest Service revolved around bringing partners together, whether it was internally or externally, to complete projects and thinking about ways to get work done creatively with different sources of funding. And so, of course, there's learning the systems and the nonprofit world and how certain things work. But there are a lot of parallels, surprisingly. And then working with our Forest Service and federal agency partners, the land managers, has gone really smoothly because I used to be on the other side of it. And so I've been able to utilize what I learned in my previous job and sort of just apply it to trails and being on the other side of the agreements and the project planning that goes into making these things happen on the ground. So thankful to have a really supportive board and a lot of knowledgeable people around me to constantly email with questions, but the rest of the transition has gone surprisingly smoothly.
Yeah, good to hear it. Mel, would you tell us a bit more about Idaho Trails Association, a brief history, the mission?
Sure. So ITA started in 2010, and it was a little disappointing last year. There were big plans to have a 10-year celebration, a 10-year anniversary party, and of course that had to be sort of shifted to more of an online environment, but we still were able to sort of toast that 10 years and start looking to the future. The mission is keeping Idaho's trails open for all, and I can let Tom chime in a little bit on some more of the history, but it's done nothing but grow. I think the first year they were maybe 20-something volunteers on 6 miles of trail in 2010, and in 2019, I believe that was closer to 150 miles of maintenance and, hundreds of volunteers, thousands of volunteer hours. So it's been amazing just seeing even this year, people signing up for projects, joining ITA, land managers coming with different projects. So it's really seems like it's stuck to that mission, using traditional tools to maintain hiking trails. And it's pretty exciting to know there are so many people who are behind that and, looking to maybe our biggest year yet. Tom, anything to add on that?
Sure. Part of the whole purpose of this organization, Julie, was that, again, some really dedicated, smart folks got together and said, we have this incredible trail system in the state of Idaho, both motorized and non-motorized. And non-motorized trails total about 10,000 miles of trails. The problem is that we don't get enough money to maintain those trails. They're primarily, about 90% of those trails are on Forest Service, U.S. Forest Service ground, and they just haven't had the money to maintain those trails. So many years ago, 50-some years ago, the Washington Trails Association was formed as a volunteer organization over in Washington State. Some of the folks that were involved with the Washington Trails Association moved to Boise, like lots of other people are doing right now. And they decided that we should have an organization like that in Idaho. So again, in 2010, Phil and Brad Smith and Sally Ferguson and a group of other people got together and said, look, let's put together an organization that will get volunteers to go out, use traditional skills and maintain our trails that we're, if we don't maintain them, we're gonna lose them. I know when I do slide presentations to people of trails here, particularly in Northern Idaho, I have a photograph of a trail with a sign at the start of the trail that says abandoned. And when the Forest Service abandons a trail, it's essentially impossible to get it back. And so we're out there maintaining these trails so they don't have to be abandoned. We maintain them so that they're safe, people can use them, and the future generations can go out and enjoy these public lands that we're blessed with.
It's really gratifying to see the growth, and Tom, you've touched on the early days and just briefly where we're at with ITA right now. And I have to say, having been in from the early days, it's really gratifying to see ITA have evolved into the organization with the membership, with the breadth of work that the organization's able to do, and really literally touch almost every corner of Idaho. So
that was one of the things that we set as a strategic goal, Phil, was to work in more places in Idaho. When I first got involved, we were basically focused out of Boise and here in Northern Idaho, out of the Sandpoint area. And now we work in many places in Idaho, a lot more places we can go to. But just for example, we just this last year, even with COVID, we had 260 volunteers spend 5,000 hours using their unpaid labor to work on trails on our public lands, non-motorized trails. One of the things I didn't mention earlier is non-motorized trails have a funding mechanism, and it comes from the licensing fees for the off-road vehicles and from part of the gas tax that we pay. There is no funding mechanism for non-motorized trails, and so that's a very little funding mechanism. So that's why it's important to get volunteers out there. Congress recognized that in 2016 when they passed an act that encouraged the Forest Service to use volunteers. 2016, they said, we want volunteer organizations to double the amount of volunteer time spent on trails on Forest Service ground. ITA doubled the amount of time we spent on trails within 3 years. So it's I use an analogy. It's like the growth of ITA's been like taking a sip from a fire hose. It's been remarkable. And it's all because people in the state really want to come out and help. And we set these projects up and we run them so that they'll come out and do some good work. It's very gratifying. But the big focus is we're going to have fun while we do it. So it's really working.
So tell us a little bit about last year. The numbers sound great. The pandemic hit. How did that impact things?
Well, when we began the year, we were like everyone else. We didn't have a clue what was going to happen. So we had to cancel some of the very early projects. But then we got together with some other trail organizations, such as the Pacific Northwest Trail Association. We worked with the Wilderness Institute the Wilderness and Medicine Institute. And we put together a COVID mitigation plan. The Forest Service reviewed it and approved it. Let us go back to work. So starting in late May, early June, we were able to go back to work. And I'm really pleased to say, to our knowledge, We didn't have anyone on any of our projects get COVID because of one of our projects. So we were very careful, and it worked. And it was remarkable how many people we saw using their public trails last summer. It was remarkable the number of people that came from Washington State over to Idaho and from other states to use our trails in Idaho.
Yes, it was. It was a very busy trail season for everyone. And I have to attribute the lack of COVID transmission to all that fresh air.
Mm-hmm. Good precautions.
Yes.
Yep. So what does the coming year look like? Tell us more. Give us an overview. We're in spring. What's going to happen in 2021?
I'll mention a bit about that, and then I'll turn it over to Mel. But I'm going to go back to a key point, and that is 2021 will be the biggest trail season we've ever had in our 11-year history. Last year, we managed to do 35 projects. We had to cancel three or four at the beginning. This year, we're going to do 46 projects. We will, for the first time, have six youth projects. We were able to get a grant that allowed us to start doing youth projects a couple of years ago. Mel mentioned that she led one of our first youth projects, and those are hugely rewarding. So more youth projects. We also started a program called the Women Only Weekends, and we've now metamorphized that into Women Only in the Wilderness, because we're going to have 2-week-long women only trips. We will have our first WOW project, Women Only Weekend project that Julie helped lead this last summer, and will lead another one this summer. So we've been expanding to youth. We've been expanding to women only activities to get more women to come out, and we've been growing the number of projects, and some of them are just, the ones we're gonna have this year are incredible fun. We have jet boat trips. We'll be, April 4th, we'll be heading up Hell's Canyon. And then we have a week gap. And then after that, we fly into the middle of the Frank Church Wilderness. So lots of fun projects this year.
It sounds like Club Med for trail workers, Tom.
Well, I don't want to minimize the fact that we expect people to work. So when they come out, they professional people, office workers, they metamorphize into tool swingers. We teach them how to do it safely. That, by the way, is a big thing for us. We're very, very careful about safety, but we show people how to do it properly. And then they definitely work. At the end of the day, people say, wow, that was hard work, but I really feel good about what I got done.
So Club Med, but yet with a Pulaski or a Picmatic.
Yep.
So Mel, why don't you tantalize us, tease us with a few of the upcoming projects that are here in our area, as well as those that might entice folks to travel from North Idaho to somewhere really interesting.
Sure. Well, like Tom said, it's our biggest year yet. A lot of moving parts, trips that range from the day-longs to a whole week out there, and that range from backpacking, from, pulling up with your car and being able to work for the weekend or a day on a trail, to having your gear packed in by mules, pack string, taking a jet boat, a plane, and having all your food provided. So some of the really fun trips, to focus on some of the longer trips first, there's a Bacon Creek week-long trip in your area that will be fully supported. We have a really great volunteer who's volunteered out of Boise to prepare all of our meals this year, and is working on a really nice menu. So, you can go out and work all day, have some good camaraderie on the trail. Like Tom said, swing a tool, get dirty. The Club Med part, maybe get a suntan while you're at it, and arrive back at camp at night to appetizers and a meal, and being able to sit around the fire and talk about the day's work and do that for a week. And it's incredible, as anyone who's even taken a short day hike knows. It's pretty easy to leave behind the troubles of the world when you're out in the wilderness and working on a project. And so, so some of our other trips, we've got some other fully supported trips, and on our website, there's a description of each of them. I think there are 6 for adults and 6 for youth this year that are fully supported. And then some other week-long trips that involve, like Tom said, jet boat rides up very scenic canyons. And then at the end, you get to backpack. So for those who are looking for a little bit more of a workout, there are some trips where, you know, you bring your own stuff, but you're still going to see some incredible scenery that would be really difficult to get to without that shuttle in. And in the end, we'll get a lot of good trail work done too. So I'll let Tom talk a little bit about some of the other North Idaho projects. Maybe Tom, you could touch on some of the daylongs and weekend trips up there and highlight a few of those.
Sure. Part of the approach to this is we provide one day projects. That's how I got hooked. It seemed so simple. I just go work one day on this nearby project and I got hooked. So what we do is we provide some of these one day projects. People come out and try it. And if they like it, then we'll have a weekend project. And then if they like the week, you know, they go out and, as one lady told me, she said, you know, I didn't realize how much fun it was to sleep in the dirt. And so we would go out and sleep in the dirt for the weekend. And then we provide the week-long projects. As Mel mentioned, we have 2 kinds of those. One is what we call fully supported. And what a deal. You get to go on a week-long project. Somebody hauls all of your gear into your camp. And then we provide a cook. All your food's provided. We ask for a $50 donation. And so you get a week of food for $50 prepared by a really great chef. So up here in Northern Idaho, we do a lot of one day projects and weekend projects. We're gonna start off on May 1 with one of our traditional projects, and that's the English Point Trail, which is an urban trail just north of Coeur d'Alene, right by Hayden Lake. It's about an 8-mile series of loops that we go and work on every year. We now have about 20 people signed up for that project. And we go out and a lot of people are brand new. We encourage new people to come out there at the beginning. We show them how to use the tools. We show them how to do it safely. Practice on an actual trail. And at the end of the day, we've cleared 8 miles of trails that are used by a very large number of people. Then in June on National Trails Day, we will have our traditional Mikinik project here on the hiker built trail outside of Sandpoint, the Mikinik Trail, a beautiful trail that takes you up to a beautiful view, 2,200 feet above Sandpoint, looking down at the airport. You're looking down at the airplanes landing. And so we clear that trail every year. And then from there, we spread out. We do a work up in the Bonners Ferry Ranger District. We'll be doing work over near Priest Lake. We'll be doing work down in the Coeur d'Alene Ranger District. And so we move around to different parts of Northern Idaho. One of our favorite projects is we go down on the upper fork of the Coeur d'Alene River up above Jordan Camp, and we work on the Coeur d'Alene River National Recreation Trail. It's a beautiful trail, and we help open that up every year. So, and then again, 16 of those projects scattered all over. We have a week-long project we're going to do this year up on the beautiful Fault Lake Trail. The trail to Fault Lake is part of the Idaho Centennial Trail. I'll tell you an interesting thing about that trail in just a moment, but we have to build a turnpike, and part of that trail has sunk into a bog up there on the side of the hill. So we're gonna go up and get the trail up out of the bog so it's not quite so sloppy hiking up to Fault Lake.
Tom, for folks that don't know, what is a turnpike? What is a turnpike?
Well, what it is it's a bunch of dirt you put on the trail fundamentally, what it is you take a couple of long logs, lay them down along each side of the trail, and then you fill in between those logs with rock and dirt to lift the trail up out of the boggy area. I know, Julie, you worked on a project with the women last year where we built a bridge up near Moose Lake. And that was, I've forgotten how long that was, but it was a long ways and a lot of great work to get the trail up out of the bog so the bog doesn't get damaged and people don't get wet. The interesting thing about that Fault Lake Trail, part of the Idaho Centennial Trail, and we work on a lot of sections of the Idaho Centennial Trail, goes from the Nevada border to Canada, basically. And one of our parts here in northern Idaho goes right up to Fault Lake, and then the trail disappears. And so the hikers have to go cross country up over by Gunsight Peak in a rather hazardous area. So I've always thought that was a little bit of deceptive advertising on the part of the Idaho Centennial Trail. You get to a place and it just stops. Yeah. So,
like so many trails, I don't think it's yet complete. We have to remember its lifetime since its first envisionment, it's still half of what the AT was before it was completed. It takes the trail's time. Yeah. And hopefully with the turnpikes, you reroute some of that water so it doesn't become boggy again. You put a hydrological break in there.
Absolutely. That's part of the fun of this is that we get to do a variety of things. One of the things that I find volunteers love to do is saw logs off the trail with our cross-cut saws. We do not use chainsaws. We cannot use chainsaws in a wilderness area, but we decided to not use chainsaws anywhere when we're working on trail. And the simple reason is when we have 20 people come out to work on a trail, we want to give everyone an opportunity to be able to use the cross-cut saw. Some people say, well, that's old technology. But I'll tell you, when I helped lead this project back in the Frank Church in the third week in April, if we had to walk out, it's literally 88 miles to the closest road because all the passes are closed. I don't want to carry a chainsaw all of the protective helmet, all of the fuel and the spare parts, 88 miles. A cross-cut saw is a whole lot lighter, and the fuel is what you ate for dinner or lunch. So we find that people really like doing it, and it's very efficient. We can, the numbers last year, we sawed over 2,000 logs off trails in Idaho using cross-cut saws.
So by now, I'm sure we have listeners who are saying, how do I sign up?
All right, you betcha. Go to our website, which is Idaho Trails, that's plural, idahotrailsassociation.org. And when that lovely website pops up, you'll see a toolbar at the top and it says volunteer, click on that. And then it'll say trail projects. And then we have several different kinds of trail projects. One is a regular maintenance project. We have another type called a wilderness monitoring project where we don't do any trail work. We go out and we look at the trail, we assess the condition of the trail, then we report back to the Forest Service. They basically say to us, hey, can you send some people out here and tell us what this trail looks like? And so we use a very sophisticated program on smartphones and we map the whole trail and we give the Forest Service that report so they know what kind of maintenance they need. Then we have youth projects and our WOW projects. So go to the website, sign up. The only projects that have any charge associated with them are the weeklongs. And again, we ask for a $50 donation that helps us defray some of the costs.
It's quite a deal. We won't touch on all of the projects because there are so many. So we'll have to move on and I'll ask Mel to tell us what else is happening this summer. What else is going on, Mel?
Sure. Well, while we're gearing up for trail season, like Tom said, we'll start with trips in April clearing trail right off the bat, but then things will really ramp up in May. And of course, June and July and August will be very busy and the bulk of our projects will take place then. But we're offering an overview of the season. We'll have a webinar on April 1st next week on, I believe that's Thursday. It'll be 6 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Mountain time. And there's information on that on our website. And if people can want to follow us on Facebook or Instagram, we always have updates and links to those webinars. We've had so much attendance lately. It's been awesome. But our Zoom meeting platform fills up at 100 people. We always record those webinars so people can watch them later. So if you sign up and you're not able to get in, we'll always post a link to those webinars later. So April 1st will be the overview of the season. We'll be presenting information about our projects. Tom mentioned signing up for projects. We do have some that have filled up already, but we also have a handy waitlist feature and you can get on a waiting list. If you see a project that you're really excited about and it's full, be sure to get on that waitlist because lots of times a spot will open up. So if you hear about a project you're excited about on that webinar, that's an option if it's already full. We'll also be offering a webinar focused on Leave No Trace, which of course with the past year of this rapidly increasing public use on public lands, we've all probably seen the impacts at trails and trailheads and campgrounds. So we've always emphasized Leave No Trace and, you know, leaving things better than you found them, but it's probably especially important now with more people out there. So we'll have a webinar to talk about that. It will probably be mid to late May. We haven't nailed down a date for that yet, but we'll keep information coming on our social media outlets and our website. We're trying to talk about some limited in-person events as time goes on and as people get vaccinated and, you know, we're a little freer to move about with less worry. We have one on April 14th in Boise outdoors at the Lost Grove Brewery, and it'll be kind of a pint night for ITA. We'll have a crosscut saw demonstration. We'll talk a little bit about ITA. It'll be limited to 50 people the way Lost Grove is set up right now with their outdoor seating, still with a big focus on COVID safety. So if you're in the Boise area and you're interested, that will be our first in-person event in a long time. When we're excited, it is pretty limited in size, but we're hoping that that's just the start. And as you know, the year goes on, maybe in the fall, we can have more get-togethers like we used to.
I was going to say that sounds more fun than the axe throwing competition at Turvan here in Sandpoint. I'll see if I can make my way down there.
Possibly safer. Maybe not as exciting. I don't know.
Axe throwing can be pretty exciting. tell us about the crew leader colleges too that are coming up so people can learn how to really step up as project leaders.
Sure. So we'll have one crew leader college in the north. I'll let Tom talk about that in just a second, and I'll just talk briefly about our crew leader college in the south, which we're calling the McCall Crew Leader College on our website, but it'll actually be several hours outside of McCall this year at the Ponderosa Campground on the Seasesh River, which is a beautiful early season campground. It's low elevation in the South Fork Salmon River country. We're always looking for crew leaders, you know, people who either have experience as ITA volunteers or in some other capacity doing trail work, people who have had experience working with crews and groups. And I think we have right now about 20 people signed up for that McCall Crew Leader College. We basically spend a weekend talking about, you know, what it means to be an ITA crew leader. Like Tom said, we focus a lot on safety, you know, trying to get that crew leader to sort of take the big picture view and, you know, help everybody else be successful and have a great time on an ITA trip, understand the use of the traditional tools and the specifications that our land managers have for clearing trails so we can produce a good quality product when we are finished with our trail work. And so it's a fun weekend. We make food for everybody. We go out and do a little bit of trail work and we talk a lot about what it means to be a good crew leader and how to manage the safety side of things and the fun group camaraderie side of things as well. So that will be May 14th through the 16th out of the McCall area. And Tom, you want to talk a little bit about what will happen in North Idaho?
You betcha. We're going to do it here at our farm. We have woods out here behind the farm and we go and work on a trail area there behind our barn. And the same thing as we do in the South. We talk about what it means to be a crew leader. We can teach people how to swing a tool. What we really want to teach our leaders is leadership skills, how to energize people, how to encourage them, how to mentor them, how to help them when things aren't going well. And so we spend a lot of time talking about how to have a successful project and how to make the project fun for our volunteers. What we found is we're quite successful at getting new volunteers to come back. And so that's one of the ways we've grown. And so as Mel said, we started out in our first year with about 20 different people that volunteered. Last year, we had 260 different people that volunteered. So that's the focus of the Crew Leader College. So if you've worked on a trail before, if you've worked with ITA before, and you'd like to learn how to become a crew leader, please come out. The Crew Leader College here in Northern Idaho is May 7th through the 9th. May 7th is a Friday. So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right here in Sagal, Idaho, and ITA will provide lunch and snacks.
Excellent. So we've got a few more things we want to move through. And one of the things ITA instituted last year was the Trail Reporter, the online reporting tool, Tom. I think mm-hmm. it's still relatively new, so it's good to get the word out to everyone. Tell us a little bit about it for our listeners.
You bet, Phil. It's a wonderful idea that one of our board members, Pam Bond, had. Pam's the same person who started the Women Only Weekend thing. Pam's a very energetic, creative person. And what she said is, look, we have lots of members. We have almost 500 members. And I think we have 6,000 to 7,000 people on our email list. So we're contacting lots of outdoor people, hikers, a lot. And she said, why don't we go and ask these people to do some crowdsourcing for us? They're walking lots of trails. Let's ask them for what they learned on that trail. So if you go to the website, Idaho Trails Association.org, and you look at that volunteer tab at the top, when you click on that, you'll see trail projects. You'll see something called the Trail Reporter. Click on that, and it asks you questions about the trail you were just on, about how many trees were across the trail, what the snow level was like, is it muddy, was it easy to get to the trailhead, all that kind of thing. And last year we had hundreds of trail reports our first year, and so we're encouraging people to do that again, particularly here in Northern Idaho. You remember back in, what was it, November, and then again we had another episode in January. We had microbursts go through. I know my wife and I have been hiking some of the local trails, and some of them are absolutely devastated. I mean, it's almost impossible to get through because of all of the blowdowns. So that information is very valuable to us and to the Forest Service. It helps us plan our work. So please go use the Trail Reporter.
Yeah, I've tried it, and I think it's quite easy to use and very beneficial. Phil, this is something that we've been working on, which is reminding listeners who we are and who we're hearing from. This is KRFY Community Conversations, and we're being joined this morning by the Idaho Trails Association with Tom Dabrowski and Mel Vining, who is the new executive director for Idaho Trails Association. Let's move on as we come to a close and just talk a bit about the restorative power of nature and trails. Let's talk about stress release and other healing through trails work. Who would like to take that on?
Go ahead, Mel. Whoops, looks like
you're on mute, Mel.
I think Mel's computer froze up.
Yeah.
Tom, why don't you field this one?
Sure. And I think Mel will be able to get on, but you know, that's an interesting question. I mean, look at what's happened to us, that that we keep hearing about Americans are overweight and they don't get enough exercise and all this kind of thing. And we know that the medical profession has said outdoor recreation is incredibly valuable and is incredibly beneficial for you. And then here, this horrible year we had last year, it was actually the only thing that people could do. I mean, they couldn't go to sports events. They couldn't go to the bars and taverns and that kind of thing. And so we had a huge influx of people on our public lands last year. And so, yes, outdoor recreation is very beneficial. The problem we had last year is we had so many outdoor recreators that it created a huge mess in the background. I know Judy and I backpacked into a very remote lake, way off a trail in the Seven Devils Wilderness in August, and got to this absolutely beautiful lake and found piles of human waste and toilet paper around this beautiful campsite. So, you know, what we've got to do is understand, yes, it's good for us to get outdoors. We also need to understand when we go outdoors, let's be responsible. And if you see someone that's behaving irresponsibly in a nice way, please try to educate them, because we have to take care of these lands.
All right. Well, as we come to a close, what are the next 10, 11 years of ITA hold? Where does it go from here?
You know, Phil, the fun part of my job as president of the board of directors is I get to do two things. I get to go out and work on trail projects and just swing a tool and enjoy that kind of work. And then the rest of the time, I get to answer that question, where are we headed? It's been very gratifying. The growth's been remarkable, but where do we go next? We're only working in about half of the ranger districts in the state of Idaho. So one of the places we're going to go next is we're going to work in more places. So we need to have our message get out to more people in more places. That's why we were able to get a very nice grant from the Murdoch Foundation. And we were able to hire an outreach director, Kelly, who's a wonderful job. So Kelly's getting that message out. So that's one of the places we're going to go. The other thing we're going to do is continue to do youth projects, because we all believe that the future is with our youth. And we need to get more kids out in the woods to see their public lands and to get that restorative effect for being out in the wilderness and out in the outdoors. And the feedback we've gotten from the projects we've done so far has been absolutely remarkable. We got a letter from one young lady who said that it had changed her life. And I got to tell you, that made my year. So one other place we're going to head, when we can get the funding, we're going to look at starting a veterans program, because we owe an awful lot to our veterans. And we want to have a program for getting veterans out on the trails, out in the wilderness areas, out where they can see these beautiful lands that they've helped us keep.
Yeah, that's amazing. Veterans, women, youth groups, that's a lot of diverse folks getting out and working on Idaho trails. I'm going to see if Mel is able to join us now. Mel, anything else?
Sure. I apologize. I had some technical difficulties there, but I should be coming through loud and clear now. You know, I'd like to underscore a little bit about our youth program. Being the parent of two teenagers, you know, one reason we've always gone to the woods is we can leave our house with our technological devices and our distractions and our schedules and our, you know, running to different sports events, all of which is a lot of fun most of the time, but it's amazing, you know, an hour on the trail or an hour at a campsite, and our kids are kids again. They're playing games, they're hiking, they're looking at plants, they're looking for wildlife. And it's just so transformative. Even just a couple of days out there, we all come back feeling recharged and refreshed and ready to take on the rigors of this fast-paced life again. And I think that this youth program will do just that for any kid who participates. It's really pretty cool to watch that 2019 trip we had kids from downtown Boise and we had kids from rural council area, and they gelled into this team. They helped each other. It was incredible to watch over the course of 5 days. So I got to put a plug in for our youth program and the restorative power of nature at the same time. But definitely, if you're a parent of a youth 14 to 18, check out those youth programs on our website for sure.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff. But you know, before we go, before Julie closes us out, contact information, general information one more time.
Sure. Our website is IdahoTrailsAssociation.org. And from that homepage, you'll see across the top links to various volunteer opportunities, information, our blog, our events coming up. And with any questions, you can email info@IdahoTrailsAssociation.org and we'll get right back to you. We check that email address daily. So feel free to reach out with any questions. If you've never volunteered for a project or you're curious about becoming a member, definitely reach out to us and we'd love to chat.
Very good. Well, that will wrap up our KRFY community conversations for this week. This has been the Idaho Trails Association with President Tom Dabrowski and Mel Vining, the new executive director. Thank you, listeners, for joining us and have a great week.
Well, this wraps up another community conversation. Thanks for tuning in to KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho and beyond. All of our programs can be heard live streaming on the web at krfy.org, and all of our community conversation shows are later posted as podcasts and available on our website. KRFY strives to bring our community important local information. Even as vaccinations roll out, impacts from the COVID-19 pandemic remain at significant levels across our country, our county, our state, and our region. It is recommended we all follow the Panhandle Health District and government guidelines. Please wear a mask in public, especially inside buildings and businesses. Keep a 6-foot distance apart. Wash up and stay at home as much as possible. And stay home if you are sick. If we all help each other, we can get through this together. So let's be good neighbors and friends and protect each other. Before we close, we have a new feature here at KRFY. If you'd like to find out more information about the song you just heard, you can go to our webpage or our Facebook page. Once there, find the playlist link, and then you can see the name of the song and the artist who performed it. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.